Hey everybody, this is Wade, and today I want to talk about a strand mount for an outdoor small cell. And I thought this would be important to cover because a lot of people, surprisingly, aren't familiar with the strand mount. First, let me tell you what a strand is. This would be an outdoor metro setting for one, but a strand is basically that steel cable that goes across the poles from one pole to another pole. If it touches the ground, we call it a guy wire, because on towers, we have guy wires that hold the towers in place. Guy wires are big, heavy, thick, hold a lot of weight. Well, a strand is meant to hold the cable, so the cable isn't supporting all the weight. You know, in the north you have icing, and in the south, you know, you have a lot of wind. So they run these strands across from pole to pole to support the cabling. Normally, you know, the cabling is, cabling I'm talking about, let's say telecommunications cabling, either for cable TV, that type of cabling, or for phone lines, that type of cabling, or something like that. So that's normally a strand. They have different sizes. I have a bunch of references in there, let's say 10 millimeter and up. And the strand has to hold some weight. So why would they want to go in a strand mount? For one, it's something that they might want to do to avoid zoning and permitting because it's not connected to the pole. Normally, when things aren't connected to the pole, you can just string it up there. You avoid a big cost by not dealing with zoning and permitting. However, I'm sure the townships and cities are going to close those loopholes, which cable companies are going to hate. The other thing is, when you pay a leasing price, you don't have to pay as much monthly, normally, I'm sure this will change too, to mount to the strand because it's not on the pole. You know, it's not considered connected or in any way solid connection to the pole. So what you have to do is you put everything on the strand, the antennas and everything. The other thing you could do is put your small cell on a strand to avoid the zoning and permitting and put the antenna on the pole because usually that's negligible. You know, it's too small. It's just considered an extension of the pole. That's the reason they do it. The reason they do it is to save money and also to save on loading on the pole. But there's other issues. You have to make sure that your strand can hold the weight of the small cell. It's obviously you don't want it coming out. And you also have to make sure that the strand is mounted properly into a pole. Normally they're mounted to wood poles or they're anchored on some type of steel pole. But something to think about because you have to make sure it's solid enough to hold that extra 20 pounds hanging out there. Now the cable companies have been doing this for a long time. They mount all their stuff to strands. I think just because it's easier. When they mount to a strand, they have the smaller units. They mount 4 or 5 units at a time. So small cells thought they would do the same thing. They'll mount their unit to it, and if it's with a cable company, you know, they'll have an interface to go from DOCSIS to whatever the small cell needs, say either a Cat5 connection, a fiber connection, or something like that, and also maybe a breakout for power. The strand you want to mount to is always in the communication space. I don't know if the electrical wires have strand mount or not. They might. I just don't know. I never work in the power, the hot space. I always work in the telecommunication space, which is where you should always work. You don't want to go up into that hot zone. You don't. If you do, if you're an electrician and you know what you're doing, great. If you can schedule an outage to work up there or if you can do it hot, great. But for most of you guys out there, your telecommunications guys, you shouldn't be up there. And if someone wants to mount up there, tell them to hire an electrician, a lineman, let's say, someone that knows what they're doing up there. Because safety first. If you don't know what you're doing up there, it's probably better you don't do it. It takes a lot of scheduling and practice, and it's better off just letting those guys do it. It's just something to think about. Be smart, be safe, and pay attention. You don't want to do anything stupid while you're there, right? When mounting to the strand, just make sure you only mount to the strand. You don't want to pinch any other cables. That's why when you see those pictures, you normally see the cables that come down and go around or they go up. They make sure they bend them away from the strand. Like what I mean is the telecommunication cables that are connected to the strand. I don't know how they have them mounted to the strand. They used to tie them in with the old lacing. I don't know if you remember when they used to lace them in. Or they could use zip ties. They could use something else, but they used to use the lacing. That's how they used to keep them on. So you want to make sure that you don't, when you put your clamps on the strand, you don't touch any of the cables because you could cause some serious damage because remember, you're holding your unit up there. The loading matters too. So follow what the OEM still told you to do. You may still have to ground it. Okay, grounding is still a big deal. Chances are you'll be in bucket trucks, so you should be able to have all your equipment up there when you're in your bucket truck. Just be leery of any power lines that are around. You should be well below them. The other thing with bucket trucks, if you're on a busy street in town or in a city or even on a road and you're doing a strand mount, so you're probably out in the middle of a, like between the poles, traffic control. You have to know what the rules are in that area. In other words, do you just put pylons in the front and the back of your truck? Are you off the road? Are you on a curb? That's all you have to do. Or are you literally in the street where you have to have traffic control and people, someone on each side of the truck guiding traffic around? Is it a nuisance? Is it a problem? You don't want to get a fine. The fine may be cheaper than having traffic control there, but I want you to think about something else. It makes a company look bad when you get a lot of these fines, and your company may not cover the fines. That's something else. You may have to eat that, because when they give you the fine, they don't give it to the company. They give it to you. You get the fine. Your company may not want to cover it because you should have planned ahead. And if your company thinks it's cheaper to pay the fine, great. All the power to them. But it does make the company look bad too when you have a lot of fines out there. And I knew guys that got burned for that. You know, they thought they were saving the company money. They should just talk to their boss first. I'm going to bring this up again. When you're bidding on a job, you better understand if you need traffic control, because that's going to really eat into your bottom line. If you're going to leave it up to, say, the contractor to provide traffic control, make it clear. Put it into the SAL. Put it into the scope of work. Put it in writing, because that's going to eat into your bottom line. There's going to be a lot of finger pointing if you don't, you know, built, think of that ahead of time. The other thing you could do, and I've done this, is you could be working in a city and maybe they say you don't need traffic control, say at night, if you do night work. And maybe that's when they'd rather have you do it than cause traffic congestion through the day. I've done that. You work between 11 and 5. You go out there and it's sort of nice. There's no traffic. You go up in a bucket. There's no one around. Usually in a city setting, there's plenty of lights because the streets are well lit. So it's really not that bad. And it's nice not dealing with traffic. The only rough thing is, you know, if you're hungry at lunchtime, there's nothing open. Depends on the city, obviously. But I'm just throwing that out there because sometimes night work's a lot easier. Also, you know, it's a little cooler at night if you're doing this in the summer. All right, so what about backhaul? Well, usually on strand mounts, a lot of the ones I've seen use DOCSIS, which are, you know, the cable interface for the cable companies. That's what they use. But you could still have wireless backhaul. Like you could have a mesh system, or you could have Cat5. I don't know if I'd put something in that has to be tight like E-band, because when you're on a strand mount, the wind blows, you rock back and forth, it could be a problem. So you got to really think about your backhaul. Wired backhaul, or if it's wireless, you want something that's going to have a little give, like sub 6 gig. Just something to think about. As far as DOCSIS, I know that Cox Cable has done a lot of testing with the OEMs to break the to build an interface so you can, in one side, you have the cable's input, which usually is power and data in the backhaul. And on the other side, you can break out to, say, a Cat5 in power, whatever the power is, usually DC power. And something to think about, too, the cable companies don't all have the same power. It's not necessarily a standard. I think there's three different choices of power. I want to say, you know, you guys probably know better than me. I want to say one's 90 volts, one's 48 volts. I'm not as familiar with the cable company's power, but they have different power. And then they have high power, low power, and so on. It's very important that you understand that ahead of time. Whoever's doing the design should think of that. But if you're the installer and you're out there and it doesn't work, everyone points fingers. Power is an easy thing to check. Just make sure you can check that. All right. So when you're doing these strand mounts, make sure bucket truck safety. I wouldn't use a ladder, although I've seen guys use ladders. I wouldn't recommend it. Make sure you understand that you still need grounding. You still need to meet the OEM standards, and understand that you're going to have to worry about traffic going around the bucket truck. Okay. All right. That's about it for today on strand mount. If you have any questions, let me know. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. See you.